Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 58. Shout out and do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush, and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, and to break, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." Please, the word of the Lord.
Okay.
Please read responsively Psalm 112 with me as printed in page 4. Hallelujah! Happy are they who fear the Lord and have great delight in God's commandments. Wealth and riches will be in their house, and their righteousness will last forever.
Light shines in the darkness for the upright. Your righteous are merciful and full of compassion.
It is good for them to be generous in lending and to manage their affairs with justice.
But they will never be shaken. The righteous will be kept in everlasting remembrance.
They will not be afraid of any evil rumors. Their heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord.
Their heart is established and will not shrink until they see your desire upon their enemies.
They have given freely to the poor, and their righteousness stands fast forever. They will hold up their head with honor. Sorry. Okay. So the second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet among the mature we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to perish. But we speak God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages of our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But, as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human being knows what is truly human except the human spirit that is within? So also, no one comprehends what is truly God's except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to the whole in all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Last Sunday, our catechism students were wrestling with the parable of the wheat and the weeds. And to make the lesson concrete, we asked them to separate gummy bears and Skittles from Jell-O without disturbing any of the other things. As part of that exercise, then we asked them to allegorize the story, assigning each element to, well, is this God or the angels or the children of evil or the children of good? Allegory is generally the easiest way to enter into interpretation of parables. However, allegory, because of its simplicity, loses the power and the nuance of what Jesus is saying with his teaching. Similarly, I remember sitting in Bible study with a leader who had very defined understandings of what Jesus is teaching today when he speaks of salt and light. He apparently heard what Jesus was saying as an imperative, a command. Be salt. Be light. Similar to allegory, when one pushes the metaphor too far, it all crumbles apart. I recall feeling really uneasy after that about the definitions that that leader was pushing at. And afterwards, I had to process it with a very good friend. Today, I cannot tell you quite all the details, though I do suspect that I'm not the only one in this room who has attended such Bible study where folks have felt the same. Last week, Jesus began teaching the Sermon on the Mount,
all who had gathered heard him begin his description of the kingdom of heaven with blessing. You may recall, the first set of blessings go to those who have no hope, those who have no land, those who grieve. These ones are the equivalent to no family to support them, no social security or safety net to help them, and no sense that the divine gives a rip about them. At least, that's how popular culture sees them. In preparation for the Iowa caucuses, in one interview, the question was put to a woman who lives in poverty, and she responded that she had a college degree, contrary to what most people thought. She said several things that flew in the face of conventional wisdom about the poor. I'm not stupid. I'm not lazy. I feel shame for having to come and request assistance. Let us not forget that the very ones Jesus announced blessing for are still present with us. There are two other groups upon whom Jesus announces blessing in that opening series. The second are those who choose solidarity with those hopeless and landless and grieving ones. And the third is blessing upon those who experience the reality that there is a cost for choosing such solidarity. Indeed, the popular culture will help those who choose solidarity with the hopeless and the landless and the grieving ones to ensure that they experience that same experience. Now, all of this is background to help us be clear about what Jesus says today. You are salt. But salt, if salt loses its taste, well, it's no longer salt. It's not worth anything but to spread on the road. It is interesting to hear people say, be salt. Salt can't choose to be salt. It just is. So too, salt only functions when it remains what it is. No judgment, just reality. But there is more. You are the light of the world. Jesus reminds all who gather around to hear that light is not to be wasted, particularly in that time. It is not covered over or shrouded. Light is to be lifted up so that it serves the whole household. Or a city on the hill provides a beacon for those who are traveling by night. Over the past week, one of my colleagues mused about what happens after baptism. In Lutheran circles, there is not a tendency toward a deep sense of conversion. Many members speak of having been baptized so young that they don't remember. And well, it just does not seem to have implications for their life. Even the rite of affirmation of baptism, often called confirmation, is kind of a going through the motions event. But in many traditions, there is a sense of deep and real conversion. Life is different. Outlook is different. Experience is different. Conversion. What is more, when people experience this kind of conversion, they tend to be on fire to share that experience with others. They understand that having been filled with the Holy Spirit, they are not to hide it, to put it under the basket. Rather, they look for opportunity to share, to speak of their experience and invite others into the relationship that they have come to know in Jesus Christ. Now, all the Lutheran hearts are getting to beating just a little bit faster right now. We get a little anxious when the pastor starts talking about these things. Some people in their minds are starting to jump to, well, we're just not like that. And I ask, why not? Sure, we can all detail experiences with overzealous evangelists who are so committed to bringing salvation that they refuse to hear their audience articulate faith. I certainly have those experiences. Once, while I was on a group bike ride, there was this gentleman who, well, he was a small group leader for one of the large evangelical churches in town, and even after he knew that I was a Lutheran pastor, he kept inviting me to his small group. Because he just knew it was going to change my life. Or another time. It always seems to happen when I'm out riding a bike. Another time I was getting ready with my son for a bike ride. It was one of those deals where we took our bikes to the trailhead and so forth. And this woman came up. She was canvassing the neighborhood. And she started with that classic question, are you saved? But she could not hear my conviction direct from the Lutheran confessions that I am saved by God's grace, not by any action on my own part, that I have been given rebirth through the waters of my baptism. It's true, Lutherans can talk about being born again. It's in the Lutheran confessions. No. Good, faithful people want to be better listeners than that. There is a desire to be gentler, I suspect. The problem is that somewhere in the nuance and in the sensitivity and in the gentleness, good, faithful Lutherans have given up the light. Or good, faithful Lutherans assume that just by doing good works, they speak enough. That the works speak on their behalf without interpretation. Good, faithful Lutherans have so often come to believe that they cannot and should not speak of their faith. And I ask, why not? Jesus tells his followers, all who sit at his feet listening to the call to be the blessing of the kingdom of heaven, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. You don't have to become salt. You don't have to kindle flame or light. You are salt. You are light. Risk naming the ways that you have been converted in your thinking and converted in your outlook, converted in your faith, converted in your experience, converted in the very core of your being. Then watch for opportunities to share it. At your baptism, at any baptism, we give a candle to the newly baptized one. Well, okay, when it's a baby, we give it to the sponsor or the parents.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend.
Shine before others.
More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.